Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Happy Canada Day. You all sit back, enjoying a little R&R.
It's nice out. I looked outside at the window. Really, it was a mistake. Nice. That was nice. I rode my bike in today. It was nice.
Were you
nice
a Blue Jay on Canada Day guy?
Never. I don't like the big days. Like, I don't like opening day. I don't like Canada Day. I don't.
It's just really?
Amateur night. It's a zoo down there. I like going when there's like 17,000 people. I like.
Well, you have your choice.
Wow, soon maybe.
Soon.
So, do you want to just do we have Borny? Is Borny there or no?
I think I'm here.
Hey, am I not here? So I just good. Hey, buddy. I just wanted to reset where we're at so far with the Leafs. So, in is Chris Tanev, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and Anthony Stolarz. Out is Joel Edmondson, who signed a contract with the LA Kings. 4 years, $3.8 million per year, which...
Sorry, 4 years, $3.8?
Yeah, exactly right. Labushkin, I don't know if I've heard anything on that yet, but I would assume that he's probably heading towards out. Samsonov, obviously, and Bertuzzi. So, are they the exact same?
No, they're better.
You think they're better?
Yeah, they're better.
Better, okay.
They're better.
Because of Tanev.
Yes.
Look at the decourse right away. You're looking at Riley Tanev. Mm-hmm. Which is a proper first pair. Benoit McCabe, which you really like as a pair, and then OEL and Liljegren. That's a pretty good group. That's a good regular season group for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to be a little tougher in your third pair in playoffs. Maybe they get Labushkin for times.
That's you traded back at the draft where you got to picked up an extra second round pick next year. That's where maybe they use that second round pick. If you're heading towards the playoffs and you need to bolster it, you use that pick to maybe bring in another defenseman to kind of help them out there. But yeah, I wouldn't say I love Liljegren and Oliver Ekman-Larsson as a playoff duo, if I'm being told.
Let's also remember they didn't score enough in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the most important thing.
And need some offense. So
yeah, it would be nice.
Speaking of offense, Nick Robertson.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't want to play anymore.
Yeah, it's fine.
What a take.
Like, in all honesty, outside of a Toronto Maple Leaf, you wouldn't have spent 10 seconds talking Nick Robertson.
You're bang on there. I do think this is a pretty absurd trade demand.
No? It's okay.
It's demand is absurd. He's been given zero opportunity as a guy who's shown he can score.
He's been given tons of opportunity.
It's okay for him to say, okay, I want to move on. If with all due respect, give me another chance somewhere else. It's fine.
Is it?
Don't make a big deal out of this.
Okay, we were on a Leaf show. I thought it was kind of a big deal that one of their top prospects.
I think he scores like a freak. Like, I think he has a really unbelievable shot and a great sense for how to score, but I don't think he's a playoff type guy.
No, and Brad's not a fan.
I mean, he's Sam Mitchell in the playoffs in six games, so... 0-0-0. Yeah. Right. So,
Brad. So as I tweeted, I totally see him getting 24 goals on an 85-point team next year.
Yeah, he's going to light it up for the Sharks.
Brad wants bigger.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But what sucks is that, let's say he is a 20-goal guy next year, he scored 15 last year, barely, playing 11 and a half minutes.
He scored 14 in 56 games.
He's going to get 20 to 25 goals next year for someone, probably a bad team.
Yeah.
It does suck to watch that go for what? You get a third rounder in 25? Yeah. Like,
that's the question, Kippy. What do you think his value is? Like, are you just getting a late round pick for him at this point? Are you turning him into another, turn him into a depth defenseman?
Yeah, listen, if you can get a third rounder for him, great.
Yeah.
If I am the Sharks or whoever, absolutely I'd give you a third rounder for a guy who's had lots of NHL experience and shown he can score.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're not, as a group, more up in arms about this, but it's like, it was time for everyone. It's like a bad relationship at the end.
It's a hard fit.
It's time to go.
It's a hard fit. He had a few opportunities to play with the big boys. I think that one game where he scored the
OT winner against the Stars.
Overtime winner.
Against his brother.
And then it was, can there be momentum here? Can he find a spot? Can he turn himself into a Jake Guentzel? Right?
No.
I mean,
no.
Jake's...
No. Guentzel sees the ice.
Yeah, I know,
Robertson sees the net.
Jake Guentzel's no, behemoth either. I mean, the guy weighs $180.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you don't think it's a little absurd? Like, I mean, I don't know what the perception of his perception of himself is.
No, I think he's smart.
You do?
Yeah, I do think he's smart. Okay. I think the writing's on the wall. I'm not a Brad Tree Living type of guy.
Okay.
So I just need to find a way to get out.
Okay. I concede to you guys that it's not absurd.
But I do think it's been a poorly managed asset here that, you know, maybe at the deadline that could have been someone who puts you over the top of the playoffs in some sort of package. Like, if you didn't like him.
He's had opportunities, JB. It's not like they never gave him a chance.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying they never gave him a chance. I'm saying if you didn't like him and didn't want him, could you not have helped out one of these previous versions of a team? Like, the pick down the road thing is frustrating, that's all.
There's no demand for him.
He's 22.
I assure you, there was nobody screaming, let's go get this guy.
He's 22 years old. He's played in 87 NHL games, including 56 this past season, where every year his number has gone up. I mean, isn't this kind of the progression of young players playing in the NHL? Where
he's only 22.
Yeah, you play a little bit and you prove you can play more and you play more and you play more. And it's just like, he finally played the most games he's ever played for the Leafs. He's like, I want out of here. I don't get it.
He remains a in-betweener,
I guess. Yeah. So he just wants to go light it up for the Sharks.
Can't play on your fourth line. Can't play on your
for
one and a half.
Maybe we've spent too much time talking about this now anyway.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Would you just want to tease Tavares when we went to break? What'd you have to say?
Yeah, just a conversation on John Tavares entering his last year of his deal at $11 million. So much noise around Marner, nothing around Tavares. Mm-hmm. Are we under the assumption he's going to stay as well, play out his last year? There is also, from what I'm hearing, the Leafs contemplating on taking the captaincy away from him.
Really?
And giving it to Austin.
Hmm.
Thoughts?
I mean,
that's a pretty big.
Is that, you know, but I've said that for years on the show. He's the face of the franchise. That's as he goes, they go. But Kip, is that partially to make it easier to talk to him and say, it's not going to be the fun for you here this year?
No, I don't think so. No. And again, okay, for all of you listening, I'm saying that they will contemplate it. They will talk about it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's real. So to your point, JB, I just think it's a natural progression to understand that we've put all our eggs in the Austin Matthews basket. We've made him the highest paid player in the league, not once, but twice. So it's his team. The time is now. He's at peak Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
It's time for you now to shoulder the responsibility, besides being the highest paid in the league, to carry and be the face of this franchise. And I'm not necessarily thinking he's the perfect guy as a captain, but it's his team.
Yeah, I think they probably want to sell some sweaters, 34 with a C on the front at some point too, I would imagine.
Yeah, he was drafted, 2015, 2016? Like, we're there. It's time for sure. And I think, you know, listen, Clark Gillies once upon a time handed the C off to Denny Potvin. You know, that was a, you know, team sort of, he recognized that that was best for the group and they've had conversations about it. Like, if you're Tavares, anything other than it's the right thing to do is selfish. Like, it's taking the spotlight off Tavares. It'll make his time easier here. It'll make a transition to a cheaper contract if he wants to stay with the team at some point, which I'm just saying. It just makes sense for all involved. I don't even think Tavares would have the right to be offended by the suggestion.
But would he be?
Some are telling me he might be.
Yeah. It's a tough combo to have. I mean, you've mentioned it a few times. Remember when they put him in that defensive role early in this year?
And I think he still sees himself as a top player.
And you mentioned that he's been the stud at every single level he's ever played at. You're getting to the point where
it's a hard adjustment.
Absolutely.
For anybody.
Yeah.
So
sure, it is. How many? 65 points last year? You know, like you're on a very good team, getting tons of offense.
Forget about the points. Does he have any identity as the true captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs right now for you?
Great point. No.
No.
Okay.
No. When it's like, how does the room feel? How does the team feel? Nobody's like, let's get John's take on this. I'd rather, you know, Mitch has more cachet in that regard on the team. Willie, whatever, but,
but I don't think Matthews, he thinks about sure. I don't think he thinks about a whole lot.
I don't think he thinks about much either.
Yeah, so
he just kind of is.
So
he's not. There's no chance for Tavares to be gone.
Sorry,
there's no chance Tavares would be gone this year. That they would find a way to get rid of that cap hit.
Listen, they would love to. The question is again, how, and are you willing to have that conversation with him?
Is it not dereliction of duty if you don't have it? If you don't at least chat?
I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
You got to have hard conversations. Those are high paying jobs, not because they're easy jobs.
Wasn't it you, Borny, that said, you know, it's maybe easier for Treliving to have that conversation than it would be for...
I came in and I evaluated things for a year. Mm-hmm. You've sort of done my assessment. We're paying you $11 million. You know, there's opportunities out there. We're looking for cap space. What do you think?
Yeah.
I know Tavares would say no to that, right? But
so do you guys want to kind of reset on where we're at with everything else that's going on?
Absolutely. Keep us updated, pal. It is free agent frenzy, Sammy. Hit us.
So Jordan Martinook resigning in Carolina, 3 years, just over $3 million per. Old friend Sam Lafferty signing with the Buffalo Sabres for 2 years, $2 million per. So I guess a $4 million contract there. Tyler Toffoli signs a 4-year, $6 million contract with the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, that's big.
Because I got my cups.
I'm heading to the rank and flops, boys. I'm playing 36 every day. I'm ready. That's got to be.
He's had that California life already.
Yeah, he played for the Kings, right? Did he win both with the Kings?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Pay me. Absolutely. Going back.
So this is one that we kind of glossed over here. This was a trade. Chychrun got traded to the Caps.
Yeah.
They couldn't get rid of him fast
for
enough.
For Nick Jensen.
Wow. Yeah. Really? What does that mean, Kip?
They just didn't think he was a fit. That's all. Yeah.
So,
they got back 33-year-old Nick Jensen. Jensen's fine.
And a 2026 third. That's it.
Yeah.
Jensen's fine.
They couldn't do better than that?
No, they could not. They could not. Yeah.
That's surprising. They tried at the draft.
Could he run the power play? Like, would the Leafs not have some interest there?
Yeah.
I don't think the Leafs thought that he was good enough, I think, overall play. And I think there were some issues defensively for him in Ottawa that they didn't like. But I don't mind him. I think he's at a good place at around $4.5-5 million. But can he have a good year in Washington, turn himself into a seven, like Montour?
Mm.
Remains to be seen.
I think he can. I certainly think he can.
A few other ones that have broken here. By the way, I'm just reading Elliot Friedman's Twitter account here. So that's where all this is coming from. Anthony Mantha to Calgary on a 1 year, $3.5 million contract. That guy is.
That's nothing compared to them giving Sharon Govich a quadrillion dollars.
Yeah. I think that is the most traded contract of all time at the deadline. Anthony Mantha. Like, you will be playing somewhere else come March, I would imagine. Teuvo Teravainen, a 3-year, $5.4 million contract in Chicago. Obviously, Tyler Bertuzzi signed in Chicago for $5.5 million for 4 years. Yakov Trenin, 4x3.5 in Minnesota. Ian Cole in Utah. Brett Pesce in New Jersey for 6 years, $5.5 million. That was a guy that the Leafs were kind of linked to a little bit.
I'm not sure how much the Leafs loved him, and I'm not sure how much Pesce wanted to come here. And there are some guys out there that have watched from afar and they see and hear from guys. It's not everybody's cup of tea to come into a Toronto or Vancouver market here. They know the scrutiny on these players.
Yeah. They want to go play for, you know, no state tax.
Would rather not.
Yeah.
The biggest example, guys, Ryan O'Reilly from around here came in. Took a look around and said, I'm out of here.
Do you think that's still happening? Here's a question for you. Let's just fire it up. If Berube's the head coach, does that happen?
What's that?
Does Ryan O'Reilly's like, I'm out of here?
That the beast that I'm talking about is uncontrollable.
Okay.
There's no coach. There's no GM.
Just trying to fire up some takes on a candidate here.
It comes to who you are, what you are, mm-hmm. kind of how you handle things, mm-hmm. how thick your skin is. That's an individual thing.
Okay.
You know what it is to me? It's like when you're younger, for me anyway, like always want to live in the city, be where the action is, right? I want to be close to the bars and the action, and I love it. Bring me all that stuff. You know who, and then you give me Ryan O'Reilly's range, you're like, the suburbs are.
You know
decent.
Who is like
own
that?
Sound's starting to sound pretty good.
So Jake Gensel thought that if they traded Marner at the deadline, he could have been a Leaf.
What?
Yeah.
Say that again.
I'm telling you that a guy like Jake Gensel is mm-hmm. that guy who wants to come to the rink and have people chasing him and signing autographs. He loved it. Mm. He would have welcomed being a Toronto Maple Leaf, but that would never have happened unless they would have gotten rid of Mitch Marner's 11 right. million. Mm. But
does Mitch Marner like the action? Does he like the city?
I don't think. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Mitch Marner is better than Jake Gensel, boys. Like, yes. You know, Gensel's clearly better in the playoffs, but like Mitch Marner is a much better player than Jake Gensel.
I don't disagree.
Couple more signings here. Laurent Boissois signed in Chicago for 2 years, $3.3 million. So that was was linked to the Leafs big time.
Yeah.
Stolarz, Boissois, extremely similar to me in that he was almost $1 million more.
Where is Carolina Hurricanes? Because they got killed.
Buddy, six times two for Carrier. They got Carrier for $2 million a year.
On a 6 year term, yeah.
What are we talking about? Your ninth forward?
No, isn't he a defenseman?
Is he
William Carrier?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's a fourth liner, isn't he? JB?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that deal.
Love
it. Effective guy.
Oh, I got the guy in Nashville mixed up.
No, he's great, but he's playing 12 minutes, 10 minutes, 8 minutes.
Who they lose?
A huge price for Gensel, and they screwed it up. He gladly wanted to go back.
He wanted to go back?
Yes. But you know what they offered him at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Like 6'3", 6'4".
Oh, my God.
Honest to God, if they did a study on how to screw up an asset,
mm-hmm.
then they need to go back and revisit Carolina and Gensel. So they finally come to the conclusion that they're willing to give him $64 million, 8x8, at the draft. But they waited too long, and Gensel's like, no, I'm over it. I'm ready to move on. And he ended up getting the same thing in Tampa, but for 7 years. And better tax rate, but this is what happens when you have no experience to negotiate in a hockey world for Dundon and Tulusti.
It's just Tulski. I don't know why there's so many syllables with you and Matt.
Like, not too hard. Hey, Tulski.
So you got a finance guy and you got a scientist trying to negotiate with Gensel. How do you think it's going to go?
William Carrier's career high is 16 goals in 22-23. And before that, his career high was 9. He had 6 last year in 39 games. Doesn't play a ton of games. He's, you know, his career high in games played is 71. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you need to give that guy 6 years, but $2 million's not bad, I guess, on the AAV.
That's when you're trying to get value. Chandler Stephenson to Seattle on a 7-year deal, looks like.
7 years for him,
Shea, where did Shea go? He signed Nashville. A big ticket, eh?
Yeah, 7 years, $7 million.
That is huge.
Yeah. So Nashville, really, you know, give them credit. They're trying to be good. And I think in a market like that, where we've talked about how they've kind of got a tradition of winning there and they've always been kind of good, you know, them getting Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea, if you're selling your fans on something, that's a pretty good-looking roster.
It really is. So far, they're the big winners.
Absolutely, and it's a lot of money, but, I mean, you got to keep people interested.
Nashville the big winners?
Sorry?
Nashville the team that isn't good enough to win, that just got 3 35-year-olds for long-term deals or whatever it is they did?
Yeah, listen, if they can still hold if they can hold their game for another year, year and a half, they're going to be right in there. Nashville, Saros locked up. He's feeling great.
The scientist and Tom Dundon just got a guy. Who did Carolina just get? Sean Walker.
Sean Walker.
What did they pay him? 5.5?
I don't have the number yet. That's Elliot just says, not sure how this is going to look contract-wise. I got the Capitals as big winners today. Matt Waugh up front. For a defenseman.
Hey.
You say Roy, is it Roy or Waugh? Matt Roy?
Matt Roy.
Matt Roy.
Matt Roy and Chychrun on the back end.
Listen.
Mangiapane, they added. Pierre-Luc Dubois.
It's still not a lineup for me that makes the playoffs.
No?
But it is a lineup that can really help Ovechkin get to Gretzky's record a little sooner.
I think the Caps are going to be pretty good next year.
You do, eh?
I mean, better. They missed playoffs by a point, Kip, and they've just added three pretty good players.
Yeah, it's funny.
Logan Thompson.
Devils are going to be way better.
Yeah. The East is looking like a bear, if you look at it here. Like, they're really, all these teams in the East are getting a lot better. I think Tampa's probably.
Detroit.
Yeah, they signed Cam Talbot to a 2-year contract. They signed Patrick Kane, obviously, for an incentive-laden contract. I think that was yesterday that happened.
Yeah.
But I think he can make up to $6.5 million. I mean,
Ottawa signed a Mario to 3 years times 2.6. Waiver guy.
All right. Do you want to hit a break and then we'll check in Tampa with Eric Erlandson?
All right. And then
I got to do a game time at some point. And
Luke
then,
Fox will join us as well, right?
We got Luke Fox at 2:00. We're going to let Borny go at 2:00 so he can go enjoy his vacation. And then Freed is going to come in studio
at
2:30.
Elliot Friedman.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's going to look like a bag of hammers. Hey. Oh, I can't wait to see his head. It'll look like a half-chewed caramel.
All right. Maybe I should do game time now. Just get it in here. Let me pick it up here.
I'm sure they'd really appreciate that. Get excited.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, as you know, there's no hockey, and I'm still giving out picks. So the Toronto Blue Jays, who I don't think we should spend too much time talking about, but they do play today. And you can hear the game right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, watch the game on Sportsnet. The plan gets the Houston Astros at home. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I believe, scratched from the lineup with some finger issues after getting hit with that pitch the other day. They are +125 underdogs. Feel like they're going to be it's going to be a good crowd down there, like you said earlier, a little bit of an amateur night. It'll be fired up down there at the game. Why not? How about the Canadian baseball team, the Toronto Blue Jays, to win on Canada Day? Send their fans home happy for once. And everybody will have a great time. There'll be some cold beers. The sun's shining. Give me the Blue Jays on Canada Day at +125. How's that sound?
So our show's ending this week.
Yes.
But by next week, your Bet365s would turn into odds on trading Vladdy.
Yeah. I'm trying.
Oh, really?
I mean, for sure. That's
He's hot right now. Did you not get him ready for the end of July trade deadline?
I don't want to do Jay's takes too hard, but this is one of the more heartbreaking outcomes of what's gone on with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, when he was coming up, I thought he was Miguel Cabrera. And now it's just like we're talking about trading him at the deadline. It's very, very heartbreaking for me. So I don't really want to get into it yet.
I don't want to make you cry.
I'm going on vacation in 2 days. That's when I come home.
Raw emotions.
Yeah, no, it really does stink. So anyways, bet on the Jays to win today. +125, that's my pick. So there you go. Listen to the game here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
So for those of you that can't watch JB on Sportsnet 360 or Sportsnet Plus, he's got flowers behind his head. And it, to me, looks like you're wearing a... what do you call those? Tiaras?
Tiara?
Tiara.
You're wearing a flower. You look like you're in Midsommar.
It does.
It looks perfectly. It's like a military hat for Napoleon or something.
Yeah. Or one of those like old-timey judges.
Yeah, don't move. Don't move. Make sure you don't move for the rest of the show.
All right.
All right, more of JB. And the rest of Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, is Eric ready for us? Eric Erslinson from Tampa Bay, set to join us. LightningInsider.com, over 23 years. And I don't know if there's any more significant news ever out of Tampa Bay.
Crazy.
That the fact that Steven Stamkos is no longer a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Eric, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
We're good. I don't know. Give us a sense of what Tampa Bay fans feel waking up and thinking their captain's gone.
Sick to their stomach. There's a bevy of emotions that certainly are going on through the fan base here. I don't think many of us thought that this day would come to see Steven Stamkos not finish his career wearing that number 91 and the bolt on his crest. And here we are now that he's a member of the Nashville Predators, and it's definitely the end of an era. And it's going to be one of the weirdest things that I've ever experienced in my career is that first game when Nashville comes to Amalie Arena next year, and he's on the other side. It's going to be one of the strangest things I've ever encountered.
Eric, have things ended on a decent note at least? Like, is there any animosity between Stamkos and the Lightning at this point?
I think that there's probably a little bit of hard feelings because of just how the last year has gone for Steven, right? He was ready to sign an extension last year. He's ready to open those negotiations and ready to finish his career here. And, you know, when he got to training camp and expressed that he was disappointed that there hadn't been any discussions, and then Julien Brisebois came out the same day and said, I need more information before we start that. We're not going to have discussions during the season. And then you look at how he ended the year, right? Like, he was on a tear at the end. He was a driving force in ensuring that this team got into the postseason this year, where it looked like for a good portion of the year it was up and down in terms of whether or not they were going to make it. He was a driving force, not just with his play, but with his leadership as well, and helped push this team in the postseason, was their best player on the ice in that series against Florida with 5 goals in 5 games. And he thought, okay, Julien said he's going to reach out to the agent right away, and he did. And then it kind of went silent for a few weeks. So I just think the whole process probably leaves a little bit of a bitter taste in terms of Stammer's camp and how this all went down. But, you know, Nick, you might know this better than anybody. The saying sometimes is players, you shouldn't be loyal to teams and organizations, because when it all comes down to it, teams and might not be loyal to you.
Especially in a salary cap era. We're talking
to Eric
Erlinson, who covers the Lightning. And the biggest story of the day, obviously, Steven Stamkos, now a member of the Nashville Predators. There was lots of speculation throughout the year, including on our show, Eric, that they'd find a way. They would just find a way to get this done. Then word came out that they made him an offer of 8 years that ran only at a $3 million AAV. Was there always a sense for you that they wouldn't mess with Stamkos' legacy?
Well, the heart says, that's the way things should go, right? And you know, there are certain players that just you feel deserve to end their careers and finish their legacy in the same uniform. And I felt that, you know, he was in that category, you know, a Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin, those type of situations. But when you look at what they were offering him, right, at that deal, and then you look what he got, look, he was more than willing to take a home team discount. He was certainly open about saying that. He certainly did it, you know, 8 years ago when he stayed with Tampa Bay and the deal that he signed then. But, you know, I mean, that contract, if that's what it was, then, you know, there's probably a little bit of them that probably felt a little insulted by that, right? Less than market value, but we have to establish what market value is. Well, we found out what market value is today, and that's $8 million, as he got from Nashville. So the team was not willing to go above what they were. They offered him a take-it, basically a take-it-or-leave-it offer, and he left it.
would they have had some idea that they were going to be able to replace him so ably with Jake Guentzel? Like, would that have impacted the decision to not go bigger to Stamkos?
Well, I think it's pretty evident when they moved Mikhail Sergachev on Saturday that they knew that Guentzel was a possibility to come to them. I don't think Stammer's situation had anything to do with that. It was pretty clear when Julian came out and said, even after he opened up, you know, the additional $11 million in cap space, that it was not going to have any effect on what their thought process was with Steven Stamkos. So if they didn't get Guentzel, would they have upped their offer for Steven? I don't know. It's so hard to say if that's the case. It just feels like the way that this whole process has gone, basically it was going to be, this is my only offer. You can either take it or you can leave it, but we're firm on this. We're not going to change it. And it just feels that that's the way the negotiation went between the two sides.
If we needed any proof that Utah wasn't going to spend like Arizona, it came off of that trade with Sergachev taking all of his contract back. How about the surprise on that? And really, essentially, going into next year and trading off Sergachev for a much older Ryan McDonagh.
Yeah. You know, McDonagh 6.75, that, you know, with McDonagh the first time around, they had to trade him because they needed cap space. So it was a little odd that they brought him back. And I don't think that they were necessarily looking to swap out and change, you know, take McDonagh over Sergachev. I just, because they felt really high about Mikhail Sergachev's ceiling. I know he's 26 now and, you know, he's been in the league for a number of years, but just 2 years ago, he had more average ice time than Victor Hedman on this team. And you could see his game trending where it was going. Had a rough start to the season, and then the injuries just derailed him the rest of the way. So he did not have a good season this year, but he was kind of the heir apparent to Victor Hedman. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at the return that the Lightning got for him with J.J. Moser, Connor Geeky, and a couple of draft picks, plus it opened up the cap space to kind of change their forward, I don't think that they, when they acquired McDonagh, I don't think their thought process is, well, okay, now we have to trade Sergachev. I think an opportunity just presented itself, and then the whole no-trade situations and those clauses, they start to kick in on July 1. I think an opportunity just presented itself, and as we've learned with Julian in his number of years as a GM here, he's not afraid to make a bold move when it presents itself.
No, and they are an organization that I think is fairly analytically inclined and want to be, you know, ruthless and make the right decisions for the team. One of them is they go out and they spend a lot of assets to get Tanner Janot, and, you know, he doesn't quite work out. How impressed are you, or I would say, how impressed are you at their willingness to just cut their losses and say, we messed up this one and move on? Or do you look at it as a major failing?
Well, you know, we're always going to judge GMs on the moves they make, and some moves work and some moves don't. And, you know, you look at his track record. A lot of us, including myself, questioned, you know, a first-round draft pick for Barclay Goodrow. Well, it worked out pretty well. He was a pretty big part of those two cup teams. Same with Blake Coleman, what they gave up to get Blake Coleman. There was a couple of first-round draft picks and a high-end prospect involved in that deal. So he paid a premium, and it worked out. With Janot, it didn't. The thing is, in this league, you make too many of the Tanner Janot moves, that's when you start to lose credibility and everything else. So, again, I give Julian high marks for not being afraid to make moves. And in this case, basically admitting, okay, it didn't work out for us, let's try and recoup some of our losses. And they did get a second round draft pick and another pick out of it, so it doesn't match what they gave up for Tanner Janot. But, you know, they made a move, it didn't work out. You just, in this league, you can't have too many of those situations. You don't get too many do-overs, and I think Julian's track record to this point has shown he's made more things that have worked out than haven't.
Eric, I gotta think maybe a couple of these moves might be in the interest of Tampa Bay to stay relevant in Florida because of the rivalry now with the Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers.
Oh yeah. The Sunshine State Showdown is on big time now, isn't it? You know, like the Lightning are in a weird spot. Okay. Everybody kind of views them as this aging team, and, you know, all teams that win championships eventually go through a phase where they start to go on a downward trend, and they're not as strong as they were a couple years ago, there's no doubt. But even with Victor Hedman at 33, 34, and you bring in Ryan McDonough, Jake Gensel will be 30 this year. But Nikita Kucherov is 30 years old. Braden Point is 28, 29 years old. Anthony Cirelli is 25 years old. They've got a good mix of players at different parts of their careers who are part of their core. So, you know, you look at this, the moves that the Lightning have made, and they still have some that they got to work out. They got a couple of forwards they have to forward spots they have to sign here. They've been quiet so far on free agency day, but you look at how things can kind of work out for them. He's trying to keep this team competitive, and as long as you have a healthy Andrei Vasilevskiy, who's 30 years old himself, you have a chance to win championships, and that's what he's trying to do here, keep the team as relevant and as competitive as possible. And it doesn't hurt that you have that push now from the team that just won the Stanley Cup, a couple hours to yourself.
Tremendous push out of the Atlantic. Eric, really appreciate your time and giving us some background on the historic move.
Yeah.
Stamkos now leaving Tampa Bay. Thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric Erlandson.
Nailed it. I got to think there's some people in the organization with Tampa, with Stamkos and Stamkos' camp, and then, oh, you just got paid, but they're like, what the hell just happened? I can't believe that he's not with the Lightning. I'm stunned by this.
It is, like I said, it's derailing a legacy. Yeah. That
is it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And listen, Stamkos won championships there. He's the captain. He led teams. Like, look at how Tavares derailed himself in the island and never got past the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get your point. You know, one thing I know about professional hockey players is there's big egos, and that makes them sensitive in like a really strange way, in a way that you'd think these guys would be like, whatever, you know, it's a move on. I got mine. We've had our whatever. If there is some real sensitivity about pecking order within the group and how the old organization looks at them. I know it's a sensitive group. But I do feel like Stamkos and Tampa are not Vince Carter and the Raptors. They're going to hold hands again and do their victory laps eventually.
I think there'll always be a bitter feel now.
For sure. I agree.
There's no way. There's no way that bygones are bygones and Stamkos will ever feel the same about that organization.
Really?
Yes, really.
How could you feel the same way?
Like because, Sam, is there some obligation for the team to, in perpetuity, pay you and think you're awesome? Like,
this is where I get stuck. I don't know. Yeah. You're right. Like, that part of it to me is where I'd have a really hard time. I'd have a really hard time as a general manager because I'm an idiot. But I do feel like that part of it would be really hard where you're weighing. This guy should be a one-team guy. Steven Stamkos is a first ballot Hall of Fame kind of one team guy.
Yeah,
and he's got Sam McKee.
He's got 555 goals for the franchise. He's
scored 40.
He 60. You mean he scored 60 for them
this year?
Oh yeah. It rubs me the wrong way. Like bringing in Gensel, it just all feels really dirty to me. And I understand that I need to make ruthless decisions.
I'm not far off on that.
And but are they that much better now?
You're all a bunch of babies.
I just...
Sergachev, and now you have McDonough, who's old, and it's like Sergachev, who's, you know, he just came off that big injury, and he was playing again. I don't like it. Hockey karma for me, I really don't like it, and I don't think a lot of fans... It's Steven Stamkos. It's not like you have a shrewd fan base there that's like, we understand all the intricacies of analytics and cutthroat stuff. It's like, you guys got rid of Steven Stamkos for who? Yeah. Like, that's everyone's favorite player in Tampa.
I get it.
All 20,000 of them who go to the game all the time. Yeah. That's their favorite player. I don't know. I just, to me, was ruthless.
I just think that a guy like Steven Stamkos in Tampa probably deserved a better way to come to a conclusion than this. And I'm not saying that ultimately you're wrong, JB. I just think, to Sam's point, this just needed to be better thought out from both sides. And it's just like, at the end of the day, you know what? You're just a piece of meat, and we're getting rid of you.
Yeah.
You know, it just to me, so I get what you're saying, and I love the idea of no salary cap. You keep your heroes. You want your favorite guys around forever. But at some point, guys, these great players are holding their teams hostage and saying, you can't get rid of me because I have a legacy here. You know, you have to keep me because I've done great things for you. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you know, these guys want to play forever. Brett Favre would still be playing.
How can a guy's market still get $8 million a year and the best you can do is $3 a year?
No, you're right. That's gross.
It's embarrassing.
It's offensive if that happened, that they should offer $3 million. That's embarrassing. 100% agree.
Yep. No, I totally agree with everything that Kipper said. I want to say that I completely understand your perspective, Borny. I know he's a little older. You know, probably the underlying numbers for him aren't as favorable. But when you're Steven Stamkos, who is one of the greatest players of this generation, who's synonymous with your not, you know, traditionally well-known team. Like, when you think of the Lightning, I think of Stamkos. He is, like, the first guy that crosses my mind. It's just...
Not Point, not Hedman.
No,
not Vasilevskiy.
LOE.
Stamkos. Stamkos is the greatest player in the history of their franchise. It's Steven Stamkos.
Yeah. And you just need to be a little better protected, that's all.
But if they give him $8 million, it's probably not a good situation for. So I understand your perspective. And like I said, this would be the hardest part.
I don't think he needed eight.
What do you think he would have taken?
He needed eight. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Okay.
I cannot answer that. I won't try.
Yeah.
But you didn't give him anything to think about. That's all.
So I think that's embarrassing. I think you at least have to say, we're going to give you, we'd like to keep you over not keeping you. We'll give you a number that is a good deal for us if you stay, but is not offensive to you. I don't think you can offer him $3 million a year. You're better off just saying we're definitely moving on. But I do think that everyone gets these guys a little sensitive.
Is karmaic a word? Karmaic? Like karma?
Karma.
Yeah. Is that a thing? I don't know if that's a thing.
Maybe. Maybe.
I'm hoping the karmic effect of this on the Tampa Bay Lightning is bad.
Karmic will work. Karmic?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that even... Anyways, bad karma, bad juju towards the Tampa Bay Lightning, who've had everything work out for them perfectly.
Now,
I really hope this doesn't work.
Like, I have no idea. Like,
Gensel's really good, though.
I know he's really good, but it can't be really easy for Gensel just to walk into training camp and go, hey, everybody, I'm the guy that replaced Stamkos.
Great point. It's a great point.
Like, you've kind of put him in a position where he's gonna just do his thing, and he's Gensel, he's Jake, he's not Stamkos, but everybody around him, especially the ones that love 91 in that area, will go, man, you better be good, man. You better be like, I don't want to see anything other than you being fantastic, or else I'm really pissed.
I mean, can I interest you in a top line of Jake Gensel, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov? Can I interest you in that?
Yeah.
Vision and IQ in that. That's the highest IQ line in history of
that's
the hockey world.
Quite good. And that's a line that I do not look forward to playing against the Leafs. That's a very good line. But I think that's a good point, Kipper, that, you know, there's probably a lot of guys in that room that love Stammer, right? Like, he's probably a pretty popular guy as the captain and the face of the franchise. Be a tough one for Gensel, but, you know, I go back to the Florida fans again, I guess. Like, I guess it's a little less pressure in Florida than that would be walking in if it was a Toronto in that situation or a Montreal or something like that. But it'd be tough for Gensel.
So the head coach of Tampa Bay, of course, we know him well, John Cooper, who
joined us last week.
Likes to kind of, you know, tease the Leaf fans a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Said that.
I'm paraphrasing,
but it's only a matter of time before it's the Leafs' time. But, like, how can you watch the last 48 hours and go, I don't think that's necessarily in the cards in the next few years because no one's rolling over in this division anytime soon.
Yeah, who got worse? I guess you could convince me that Tampa's a little bit worse with losing Sergachev, but Gensel's so good. I don't know. Did Florida get worse? They lost Montour, but they kept Reinhardt. Boston, I mean, they just got Elias Lindholm and Zadorov.
That's significant. Florida loses Montour and OEL.
Okay,
And Stolarz.
So they're a little worse,
But no, Boston adds Lindholm and Zadorov.
Yeah.
Boston to me is upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs, you know, they're counting on an internal help, and I think there is some there. I think you can get more from McMahon, and you can get more from Benoit and Holmberg and all those guys. Okay, but yeah,
what
it's
a
not,
thrill! Tune into like Real Kipper and Bourne next year.
But they weren't like a threat away from the Cup, you know. Like they, yeah. I was kind of hoping. I'm hoping there's still more come.
So just a quick reset on a couple contracts that Ilya Lyubushkin has signed a 3-year. $10 million contract with the Dallas Stars. So another old friend is gone there.
God, this,
he's got sneaky paid, that
he's
guy.
Got, yeah, he's got some money. Sneaky $3 million guy.
Yeah, because he got that in Buffalo,
but
right?
I'm telling you, in my next life, I am coming back as a right-handed, stay-at-home defenseman, just high and hard off the glass.
And hammer guys.
And just hammer guys.
Yeah.
I
missed the boat.
Big Lyubushkin fan.
I like Lyubushkin too. I thought he was pretty good for the Leafs when he was here. I thought, you know,
Better the first time than the second time.
I thought it was the other way around, kind of.
You did.
I thought he was okay this year, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't know. He's fine.
I wouldn't pay him that. But the Seattle Kraken have made a couple monster signings. So after they signed Montour, they say that they landed Chandler Stephenson on a 7-year, $6.25 million contract.
That is having to overpay in UFA, and I like him a lot.
I love Chandler Stephenson. He's a guy I've brought up to the Leafs multiple times.
Dude, take a hike. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's not a good number. It's too much.
40 points last year?
Is he their number one centerman?
I guess.
If so,
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the other one,
Gustafson signed in Detroit.
Sean Monahan. Where did he go? Washington.
Columbus.
Monahan got 5 times 5.5.
They reunited the Calgary guys.
This is like Brad Treliving had to give up a first rounder to get rid of him.
Right.
Like think about that for a second. And now he turns around and he signs that contract.
Crazy.
Monahan Columbus had to overpay anybody. God, he's back with Gaudreau though, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs.
But that's like, and
bring me the team that never did anything. They're two best players, but
he's healthy. You know, he got himself healthy enough to come back to be the player that he was not in Calgary.
And he was awesome for the Jets after they made the trade for him. He was really good, shot in the net a bunch. Apparently, the Isles have signed Anthony Duclair to a 4-year contract. Barney,
who signed them?
The Isles.
Did he get $12 million?
I don't know. No number. I just saw the Chris Johnson tweet here, but the Isles announced they've signed Anthony Duclair to a 4-year contract.
They were slow. They needed some wheels. Ryan Lomberg signed a 2-year, $2 million cap hit deal with the Flames at age 29 for the Flames. That's an interesting rebuild signing.
$2 million a year?
Calgary.
Yeah, but did he get $2 million a year or $1
million? $2 million a year.
Oh, wow. See what winning the Cup does for you?
Yeah. And, you know, looking like Rambo at the parade.
He's
that helps.
He's 1-2, 1-4 without that cup.
Absolutely.
He got a $1.5 million signing bonus the first year. So he's taking his Stanley Cup and cashing that first check.
Oh, baby. How about just quick comment because we're going to go here soon. How about being Sam Reinhart right now? You score the Stanley Cup winning goal. You're partying on the beach. You sign an 8-year contract for $8.5 million per year. Got to be pretty sick to be old Sammy Reinhart right now.
He just literally funneling a beer while you're signing that contract.
Like, sign me up, baby. I love him.
Me too.
I didn't like him in Buffalo, but I love him now.
Good defensively too.
But correct me if I'm wrong, he missed the parade or celebration for a buddy's wedding.
He did.
Yesterday?
He did. Yep. He was in a guy's wedding.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that one. Like,
if you're that buddy, I'm sorry, you're probably listening because it's a local guy. Like,
let him go.
Take him away from that.
Yeah.
Okay? Because there's a very good chance you will end up divorced.
Yeah.
Right?
But you can only be at one parade, baby. And hey, shout out to Florida fans. Saw some picks. You did pretty good. You did okay. Saw a couple picks that looked like there's a lot of people.
You crapped all over them.
Oh, I poo-pooed them.
Do not try to suck up to them now.
Whatever.
Okay, it's not working.
Whatever. I don't care.
Hey, JB.
Good stuff, buddy.
Great job, buddy. We're going to let you go.
Happy Canada Day, guys. Enjoy the final hour.
Happy Canada Day to you and your family. Enjoy it. And when we return in the third hour, we're going to welcome in Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. We'll get his thoughts on all the happenings on our free agent podcast.